This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Josu Franco from Panda Security.
Hello, Ian. I'm Strategy and Technology Advisor for Panda Security. I've been working at the company for almost 20 years. My role, if I had to summarize it, would be that I'm looking at what should we be doing, what should we be selling 2 years from now. That's part of the strategy, so I influence a little bit on the strategy side. I also work a lot with Panda Labs and Panda Research. I try to help them out in communicating all the great things that they're doing so that it can be understood by audiences of various levels of knowledge of cybersecurity. I also work with analyst relations. I work very, let's say, horizontally with the labs, with the research team, and the product management and product marketing management teams.
At PAST 2019 yesterday, when you took the stage, you made a statement that was very bold. You said malware is under control.
We're referring to file-based malware. And for us, that's what the data is telling us from the labs. We have weekly reports based on the number of infection reports that we receive from customers. They give us a call, of course, when they have a problem. What we've seen is that ever since 2015, when we introduced sort of a new approach to deal with malware infections, the numbers of infections among customers, our failures, have been dropping significantly. In 2019, the average for this year is about one infection every 2 weeks. With an install base of millions of endpoints and with the millions of attacks that we see every month. That is giving us, I would say, the right to make that statement. We're not going to say that we're going to be perfect. 100% security does not exist. We're always taking a risk. We're all aware of that. But from what we're seeing, at least for Panda Security customers, that's what we're seeing. That doesn't mean that we have no challenges. There are tons of challenges, and the attackers are evolving, and the threats are also evolving towards more insidious types of threats, as we explained yesterday as well.
You talked about living off the land threats yesterday, and this is something that I think a lot of organizations really struggle to get their head around. They assume that if the attacker is inside their network, they should see an alert that the security system should tell them somebody's breached. But zero-day attacks make it easy for them to gain a foothold. And then you talked about the tools that they use that become dual use. How do we educate customers better to be able to determine that difference between an attacker living off the land, spreading through the network, establishing little footholds, and user behavior?
Education is very important, but if user education really worked, it should have worked by now. It needs to be there, but here is where more perhaps sophisticated analytics come into play. And as I said yesterday, human behavior poses a challenge in terms of cybersecurity because it all depends on the intentions of the user. So a user with the right permissions to access the resources of the company, depending on the intention, it could be very positive or it could cause a lot of damage. How to distinguish that? That becomes a challenge, as I said. You need to be observing more, you need to be monitoring more, and you need to run more and better analytics. And that's something that I think most organizations are not going to be able to do by themselves. That's why we believe that vendors should not be just throwing products at this problem. They should be providing their expertise in a manner that can be easily consumed in the form of services that can be delivered from the product itself, from the cloud, manually by a team of analysts, as long as it is scalable. We need to be very efficient. We've always believed that the way to scale up services at an international level even, is by innovative in technology. Innovation drives technology, technology drives automation, and automation drives scalability. There's no other way around it, I think.
Analytics is something that we do. If we think about our SIEM systems, we're gathering data from large amounts of areas and we're trying to understand it. The problem for a lot of security teams is that they're drowning under this weight of information. They're struggling to find the right analytics to reduce the noise and tell them what it is they need to focus on. You talked yesterday about how we need to improve what cybersecurity does with analytics to merge the two much closer together. Can you give us a bit more on that?
What you said is right on point. There are some surveys that I've read that say that on average, only 4% of alerts are ever investigated. And in some studies, they say it's even less than that. It's probably 1% of critical alerts at large enterprises are ever investigated. It is true that they're drowning in alerts. In our case, because we're taking as a baseline this zero-trust approach for applications, for unknown or untrusted applications, we're already filtering out lots of these alerts that in other SIEM systems, they still need to be investigated because they are still malware alerts. In our case, file-based attacks, malware-based attacks, are going to be filtered out by the approach that we're taking with the attestation service in which we classified every single executable. If there's something executable that we don't know, that we don't trust, that's going to be blocked by default until classified. That way, we can focus really on these harder challenges, which is the malware-less type of attacks. So we can focus there, but it is true. What level of analytics do we need? Well, better than the ones we have now. And I think that's where moving more into this data science world makes a lot of sense for us.
Do you see that data science being done internally by customers, or is this where MSSPs and partners need to step in?
The fact that we provide a baseline of services doesn't exclude at all the services that can be provided by the partners, because they understand the context of customers. We're going to build as a baseline, we're going to provide a baseline of these services, we're just going to be raising, we're going to be providing more and better services, and they will need to build their own services on top of it, because they own the last mile of understanding with the customer. They know the context, they know the environment, the infrastructure of the customer, and they can customize the services that we provide so that they can, for instance, make queries, or they may search for, I don't know, particular types of attacks or events with better context. They can customize those things. Technology will keep driving automation on this. We need more automation. We need better analytics. And with time, I think that more of this intelligence will be prepackaged into the solutions.
From the stage yesterday, you announced two new products, Cytomic as a brand, and the first item under that was Orion. Could you expand a bit more?
Orion could be thought of as an EDR tool, and I'm using Gartner's terminology here. If you look at or how Gartner defines an EDR tool, it covers a number of use cases. And threat hunting, by the way, is one of those cases. But it's an important one, of course. But it covers, for instance, the ability to do searches of any type of event about any current state of a system or in the past. So Orion provides that. You can search for any event at any endpoint over the past 12 months, which is a long period of time. But if we consider that some of these attacks, the average dwell time for an attack could be 200 days, well, you would at least need 200 days of retention period for the data that you collect for the telemetry. We, as a default, providing 12 months, it's already giving us a differentiation in that sense. You can also, of course, search for events about the current state of systems. You can detect suspicious activity made by the processes that are already running at the network. So all of these use cases are within Orion, can be covered with Orion. And the threat hunting piece, sometimes this misunderstanding about what threat hunting is versus threat detection. Threat hunting is about trying to uncover the unknown. Very few people are able to do that right. You're not using indicators of a detection. You're not trying to detect anything that is known. You are working based on hypotheses. The best guesses from our best experts. And sometimes those hypotheses about what might be happening at a system based on his expertise or her expertise, it's a different level of understanding. Very few people are actually able to do pure threat hunting. But Orion facilitates that. The good thing about Orion is that even the hypothesis that our analysts are using, that's going to be visible to anyone using Orion. So they're going to be leveraging our expertise, as I said yesterday. Orion is a tool that integrates this data science platform, Jupyter Notebooks, because we believe in this convergence between cybersecurity and the benefits of using a platform such as Jupyter, which is widely used now by organizations of all sizes to do big data analytics, mostly on business, to get better business data for the businesses. We want to adapt that into our cybersecurity use cases.
How does that commoditize the analytics? Because if we look at a lot of organizations, they spend a lot of money on data analysts and data scientists. But these people, given the time they have, can only ever solve a small number of problems. And those problems are only ever those that are core to the way a business functions. They don't cover cybersecurity. They don't cover much of the use cases that end users have. So it's kind of left the cybersecurity team in the same position as end users. We've got tools in the business. What do we do with them? Are Jupyter Notebooks going to be that first step for them to get more detail?
Jupyter Notebooks is a paradigm that offers a lot of benefits. As with any disruptive innovations go about making something very, very sophisticated, make it foolproof so that anybody can use it. We're not there yet, of course, but I think it's setting the right path for this to happen. In the same manner that it has allowed less skilled individuals to get into data analytics, in cybersecurity we could have a similar situation. Much less skilled individuals being able to extract insights for cybersecurity purposes. Is it going to be commoditized? Well, this notebooks paradigm is already in use by a lot of people. It's becoming really popular. These platforms didn't exist not so long ago. We're going to see that trend continue over the future, so it's going to be simpler and simpler to use it. It's going to contain more automation and more availability of libraries built by the community so that you can pull this great data visualization tool as a library, and perhaps you wouldn't need to code much in order to use that great new function. Another benefit is that we are decoupling the addition of these new functionalities from our own development cycles. if this is an open format, this is an open platform, a customer using these notebooks will be able to pull these new components, new libraries from the community and use them with the data that we provide captured from our own agents at the endpoints. Commoditization is always happening. This is an evolution. This is a dynamic in this industry and is in any other industry. So this is going to be simpler and better over time, for sure. I think we are still, among our sector, probably the first ones to bet on this paradigm, for sure.
Using the community is a really great way to get a wider set of data. If we look at the bad guys in cybersecurity, they're very good at collaboration. They have great communities out there in which they can build from. They'll contribute bits of code. They all get to make new attacks. If we look at the defenders, well, we're all very busy hiding in our little shells and really not quite sure if we want to share what we've seen with other people in case other people think we're worse than they are. How do you engage that wider community into sharing their knowledge, sharing their skills, maybe just sharing their Jupyter notebooks early on, so that actually it builds more trust in the community? It also elevates skills across all your customer base.
That is actually what we want. This is the first step into that direction. We bet on an open source, an open platform, so that it extends the value of the solution, because extensibility is part of the paradigm. The ability also to share research, we think that's very important. When you use a notebook, you can see the narrative followed by the investigator to build that playbook or template, whatever you want to call it, and to see what are the steps that were taken in order to arrive to the conclusion. Was this an incident or not? That can be shared within your own team or globally. You can publish it straight from the notebook. You can publish your own research as to how did you arrive to that conclusion. That will help to less skilled individuals to learn from the experts, let's say. So yes, we're betting on that for sure. Yes, the bad guys, they're all collaborating, and the industry, we all have our own interests. Sometimes it's harder to collaborate, but we think that we need to do so.
Earlier, you mentioned that many people struggle with the difference between threat hunting and threat detection. There's also this problem for many people in terms of how do they action some of this? When you talk with MSSPs and partners who are providing services forward to customers, how many of them are changing their model? So they're not just saying to customers, we've seen this, but they're saying to customers, we've seen this in related industries. We've seen this in your industry in other places. These are things you need to think about. Or this attack is live at the moment. Here's a set of steps that you need to take quickly to lock down your environment.
Every MSSP is different. There is varying degrees of proactivity in their side of the visibility that they have. And there are even companies that provide that sort of benchmarking of intelligence by sector. So they're able to see what are the indicators or the key metrics for a particular sector, and you can benchmark your company against that. And you say, am I average? Am I better than my peers or worse than my peers? Are there certain companies specializing in that? It's hard to generalize when we're talking about these security service providers, because there, again, as I said, varying degrees of maturity. The same that happens with enterprises. You can be a large enterprise but have low maturity level, or you can be a much smaller company, have a much higher expertise and maturity in security. It's hard to generalize, but as we move into giving more weight to the services component, even if it's highly automated, partners are going to be able to do the same and provide more services to their customers. Having that visibility across sectors and being very proactive, that's for the high maturity organizations.
When you look at customers out there, what level of maturity are you seeing in their cybersecurity approach? It's very easy to think of people running around like headless chickens just trying to patch a system or keep things running. But there are organizations out there who have turned this into an art form. They have highly skilled teams who are doing both red team and blue team work internally. They have highly skilled teams that understand the difference between incident response and forensic gathering of information that the law enforcement teams will use. Where are most customers on that scale?
Most customers are at a low to medium scale. I would say more towards the low part. Very, very few companies have highly skilled security teams. It also depends on the sector, financial sector, for instance, because their risks are higher, they tend to be better prepared on this. It also probably depends on the geographies, but for the most part, the levels are still, I would say, low to medium, all across. And many companies, they don't even cover the basics. When we tell them that 90% of the risk you're facing could it be mitigated by just applying these patches that were available for over a year? First, they need to cover the basics, and then they can start thinking about everything else.
It's 2019. I'd like to think we've got beyond the point of saying to people, patch, but I'm not sure we'll ever get beyond that point.
It's very hard, but at least they would need to start with making proper risk assessments and prioritize the patching. Most of the vulnerabilities that were announced last year, they didn't have an exploit in the wild. It's just a subset of the vulnerabilities, so go for them first. Go for the vulnerabilities that first are affecting my critical systems, and second, for which we've seen a working exploit in the wild. Those should be the ones that you should pay attention to.
Josu, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.